God's church and say amen. It's certainly a joy to be in the house of prayer this morning, and we certainly welcome all of our guests today. We know that we have several members of the great Roosevelt City Church present today, and we're just honored to have you present today. Amen. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Philippians. The chapter is 4. And I'd like to read in your hearing this morning from verses 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, or 6 and 7. You have that, say amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Using that reading today, I want to talk to you from the subject, A Troubled World and the Peace That Passes All Understanding. A Troubled World and the Peace That Passes All Understanding. If you know anything at all about this world, you know that there is trouble in this world. This is a troubled world. Trouble runs up and down the streets. Trouble fills the headlines. Trouble fills the airwaves. And all of this unrest points to the fact that there is trouble within. There is a lot of inner turmoil in people's lives. And yet, it points to the fact that we need the remedy of peace. Clouds of anxiety are floating in many mental skies today. Many people are finding it harder to relax. Stress has become distress. Just think about the trouble that we live in. We live under the threat of terrorism, the threat of global terrorism, as well as domestic terrorism. Someone raised the question, can we really have peace now after September 11th, 2001. The rich are getting richer. Gas prices are out of sight and still going. I wish I had somebody. The cost of living and the cost of dying keeps going up. Amen. And even though our age is an age of affluence and influence, we still represent a world that's in serious and intense trouble. And when you look in the bookstores, there is a flood of self-help books flooding the market. And these books represent a profound commentary on the fact that there is trouble in our world. This denotes the mental and the psychological state of people living today. But I got some good news for you. Even though there's trouble in the world, there's a man who's called the Prince of Peace. Somebody said his name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he shares some profound insights with us about peace. For he could speak to the angry winds and the raging sea. And he could say, "Peace, be still." Or he could say, "Hush." And there was a serenity that arrested the sea. And even though a storm may be raging in your soul this morning, Jesus can say to the angry wind blowing in your soul, "Peace, be still." Jesus can say to the raging sea in your soul, "Peace, be still." One writer described him as a hiding place from the wind. He said, "A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Jesus Christ is a hiding place. And his magnificent voice comes down through the corridors of time with a timely and relevant message. And he say, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." And then he gives a radically different type of peace. For he says, "My peace I give unto you." In John 14:27, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. And in our scriptural reading read so beautifully by Brother Moore, in Luke 19:41, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. And he wept because he said, "The things that make for your peace are hidden from your eyes." And Jesus wept over Jerusalem because Jerusalem would never have peace. Amen? And yet, there's good news. So this morning, as I share this message, I want to talk about two ideas. I want to talk about, number one, God's gift, the peace that passes all understanding. And number two, I want to talk about five things we must do if we're going to have this peace. Two things. Number one, God's gift, the peace that passes all understanding. And number two, five things we must do if we are going to have this peace. There is no doubt in my mind that the Bible is the greatest book in the world. There is no book like the Bible. There is no book that can do for a human life that which the Bible can do. This is the case because there's a lot in the Bible to be happy about. The Bible was written that our joy might be full. The Bible was written that I might rejoice and that I might keep on rejoicing over and over and over again. Is that all right? The Bible was written that I might serve God with gladness. I don't need to serve God with sadness. I need to serve God with gladness. And the Bible was written to educate my mind and open my understanding that I might order my steps as I live in this world. There is no book like the Bible. And if I live by its teaching, my life will be better. Just think about how many lives the Bible has inspired. These are the pages of inspiration. If you want to get inspired, read your Bible. Is that all right? Because there are some great thoughts and themes in the Bible. Let's just think about a few. John 3:16 is a great thought. For God so loved the world. That's a great thought when you think about God's love. That's profound. That's powerful. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That passage makes me happy. That passage brings joy to my soul. What about you this morning? That's an uplifting thought. And then the Bible talks about God's love passes knowledge. You see, God's love is so wonderful, Brother Wolf, and you can't even understand it. Get for me Ephesians 3:19. Listen to this. God's love is so profound that you can't even comprehend it. Greater love hath no man than this. What a great thought. What an uplifting thing. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. What does Ephesians 3:19 say? And to know the love of Christ.
Which passes knowledge?
Which passes knowledge.
That ye might be filled.
That you might be filled.
With all the fullness of God.
With all, and when you feel with the fullness of God, you got some joy on the inside. You see, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Is that all right? And then not only is there the thought of God's love, there is the thought of God's wisdom. There are many things in life I can't figure out. We may have education, but we still have limited knowledge. I don't care if you got a PhD or a double D or no D. Some stuff you just can't figure out. Is that all right? Because we have a limited understanding and a limited knowledge. But there's a God that I serve. He's all wise. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, to him, and through him are all things. Then I hear Jude say, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be majesty, dominion, and power. There's some things I don't know, but God knows everything. God is still in control. Even though this world seems like he's out of control. And since God is in control and I'm not in control, I must trust in him with all of my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. And then not only is there God's love and God's wisdom, but then there's God's power. I think sometimes we forget about he's still Almighty God. He ain't just God. He's Almighty God. And nothing is too hard for him. I think sometimes we forget about it. Ain't nobody like him. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known that the everlasting God fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. Yes, they'll walk and not faint. You see, God is so awesome. He can do things above all you can ask or think. See, it's some stuff God can do you can't even think about. Get from Ephesians 3:20. He can do exceedingly, abundantly. I know sometimes I get bogged down, but when I think about God, I feel all right. Amen? What does Ephesians 3:20 say?
Now unto him that is able to do
exceeding. Now unto him. Listen to this. Now unto him. One thing I know about God, he's able. Yes, he's able. He's able to make a way out of no way. He's able to turn nobodies into somebodies. He's able to turn darkness into light. Sorrow into sunshine. A setback into a comeback. Oh, he's able this morning. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
That is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. And you think sometimes stuff you ask God is too hard. You know, the stuff we ask God really is the little stuff. Because God makes the sun rise every day. That's the big stuff. Is that all right? And then he knocks the light out of the sky every day, always on time. That's the big stuff. Is that all right? He regulates the temperature. That's the big stuff. And the earth is tilted just right where we don't burn up or freeze up. That's the big stuff. Is that all right? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what?
All that we ask or think.
All that we ask or think. And then a fourth thing. The love of God is a wonderful thing. The wisdom of God is a wonderful thing. And the power of God. And then there is a peace that God gives for you and I that passes all understanding. There's a peace that he gives. We live in a troubled world. Folks are losing their minds. Folks are getting drunk and getting high because they can't cope with life. Is that all right? But there is a God that can give you a peace even when you can't pay your bills. I wish I had a praying church here. He gives you a peace that passes all understanding, even when you're chilling, acting crazy. He gives you a peace because sometimes the more you do for them, the worse they act. I'm going to say that this morning, and I ain't scared to say it either. Amen. He gives a peace that passes all understanding. There's nothing like it in this world. If you don't have it, you ought to have it. If you don't have it, I'm going to show you how to get it this morning. Well, what is this peace? Well, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And when you look at the word gift, in the word gift is the idea of giving. Whatever you get a gift, someone has given to you. Is that right? And God is a gift-giving God. You can't beat God giving. Is that all right? Everything we have, God gave us. This little money we're going to put in today, he gave it to us. It's his. Y'all need some Bible for that? Go to the First Chronicles 29, Brother Damian. Look at verses 10 to 14 with us quickly. First Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 14. God is a gift-giving God. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. What does Chronicles 29, 10 to 14 say?
Wherefore David blessed the Lord.
Wherefore David, when he blessed the Lord, that means he thanked the Lord. See, when you bless God, you're just thanking him. Is that all right? When I said bless the Lord, oh my soul, I'm saying thank the Lord, oh my soul, for all of his benefits that he has given unto me. Read.
Before all the congregation.
Read.
And David said,
listen to this.
Blessed be thou.
Blessed be thou.
Lord God of Israel.
Lord God of Israel.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Thine, O Lord, is
yes.
The greatness and the power.
For God, the greatness and the power belongs to you. Come on.
And the glory and the victory.
And the glory and the victory.
And the majesty.
And the majesty.
For all that is in the heaven and in the earth.
For all that is in the heaven and in the earth.
Is thine.
Is thine.
Thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the kingdom.
O Lord.
O Lord.
And thou art exalted as head above all.
Read.
Both riches and honor come of thee.
Let me tell you something. If you got a promotion on your job, you know who gave it to you? God. If you got a raise. And when you get a raise, get a law to raise. Say amen if you can. Is that all right? When you get a raise, get a law to raise. Come on, read.
And thou reignest over all.
And thou reignest over all.
And in thine hand is power and might.
In thy hand is power and might.
And in thine hand it is made great.
Read.
And to give strength unto all.
Read.
Now therefore our God, we thank thee.
Therefore our God, we thank thee. Come on.
And praise thy glorious
name. And praise thy glorious name.
But who am I?
But who am I?
And what is my people?
And what is my people?
That we should be able to offer so willingly.
That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort.
For all things come of thee.
For all things. Listen. All things. If you're driving a Lexus, Escalade, he gave it to you. Pathfinder, Navigator, Bentley, he gave it to you. Wear a diamond ring, he gave it to you. If you wear designer suits like J.F. Harris, he gave it to you. Is that all right? Read.
For all things come of thee.
For all things come of thee.
And of thine own have we given thee.
And listen to what he said. And God, really, we're just giving you back your own stuff. Hello? I don't care where you live, you just renting. Hello? Because one day you're going to move out. Hello? Tell you about a man had a Cadillac, didn't want his wife to drive it. Died. She come around the corner in that Cadillac. Praise God. He couldn't stop her because you just ridden. Is that all right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Is that all right? All the power and the glory belongs to God. Is that all right? And he gives a peace that passes understanding. What is this peace? This peace is harmony. This peace is all the things you need in your life that make for your highest good. And I think if we will admit, we find ourselves anxious, worried, and frustrated. But yet there's a God who gives peace. Now if you look at the text in Philippians 4 and verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep literally means to guard. It's like a sentry standing guard. So what he's saying is that God will give you a peace that will protect your heart and your mind. And you know our hearts and our mind need protection. Is that all right? And this peace, like a sentry guarding my mind and my emotions, keeps me from being overwhelmed by fear, overwhelmed by anxiety, worrying about whether the company going to downsize. Hello? Worrying about what the test results going to be. Hello? Many things that we find ourselves worried about. Now, Marvin Vincent points out that this peace, which, notice the phrase, it passes all understanding. Now, either this is a peace that passes the power of human comprehension, or, he points out, it is a peace which surpasses every human reason in its power to relieve anxiety. I think it's both. It's a peace that's beyond human comprehension. And you sometimes wonder, why am I so calm when everything is falling apart? And then it has the capability of relieving every cause. And y'all know we can live better when we got peace. When you don't go to bed worried and you wake up worried and you go all through the day worried. Is that all right? Now, there are billions of people in this world, but now who can have this peace? There are billions of people in this world, and that was this tremendous outpouring for the Pope. Well, if the Pope was all that, why couldn't he reverse his illness if he's the head of the church now? Hello, lights. I don't mean to be insensitive, but inquiring minds want to know. Is that all right? Now, who is it? Who wouldn't like to have this peace we're talking about this morning? I know I want to. In fact, not only do I want it, I need it. Lord, I need it. Amen. There's some issues in life, and I need it. Death is in the future. I need it. When I'm moving to the valley and the shadow of death, I need some peace. Is that all right? Well, Brother Moss, who can have this peace? There are billions of people in this world, but this peace is not for everybody. Amen. Everybody can't have this peace. Let me show you who can't have it. Let's go to Isaiah 48:22 and also Isaiah 57:21. Everybody can't have this peace. This peace doesn't come upon everybody automatically. Now, there are some gifts of God that are unconditional. He sends his Son and his rain on the just and the unjust. But some gifts of God are conditional. Amen? Now, let's look at what Isaiah 48:22 says.
There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the
wicked. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to who?
Unto the wicked.
To the wicked. The wicked, you see, God fixed it so you can't live in this world and ignore him and transgress his laws and think you're going to have peace. Just not, this world just not made that way. So if you got disturbance from guilt, and a lot of us are worried because we got a lot of guilt in our lives, because some of us are doing stuff we know we ain't got no business. Is that right? Well, God says, I fixed it so that the wicked can have no peace. What does Isaiah 57:21 say?
There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked.
There is no peace, saith my God. Now, this God gives a peace that passes all understanding. And Lord knows I want it and I need it. But everybody can't have it, just like everybody can't have salvation. Salvation is conditional. Who has salvation? Only those people who believe and cooperate and obey God. God, he is the savior of them that obey him. Is that right? Now, I've told you who can't have it. The wicked can't have it. And let me give you quickly, as we get ready to close this message, I want to give you five things that we must do in order to have this peace. Naaman wanted healing from leprosy, but he had to cooperate. And that was a healing for him in muddy Jordan River. And Naaman argued and protested, but until he went to the Jordan River, he couldn't be healed from his leprosy. So if you want this peace that I'm talking about this morning, I want to give you five things you got to do if you want this peace. Number one, you got to believe. If you want to overcome the problem of a troubled heart, you got to believe. John 14:6, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, what? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many